who I think is going to step right into what God has already been doing tonight, Patricia Bootsma. She's from Catch the Fire Ministries up in Toronto, Canada. She's an international speaker. Her and her husband, John, they pastor, senior pastors of the church up there. But she's an international speaker. She's involved in leading the prayer ministry up in Toronto, Canada, leading that, and involved in prophetic councils and leading prophetic councils and involved in them. She is an equipper. She has a heart to see God released in his people and for them to be equipped in their destinies to be fulfilled. And so, if you'll stand and welcome Patricia Bootsma.
Hello, Marion, Ohio. Whoa. Wow, you're just such a quiet, boring crowd, aren't you? Oh, thank you, Lord. This is fantastic. What a beautiful place. All these amazing faces here. Jesus, thank you. Yeah, sorry, keyboard dude. Bless you. You had like a two-minute break, but just for a few minutes if you come back up here. Hey, you know what? I'm glad that you just played that song because, you know, speaking of prophetic, do you know the ultimate prophecy of all time is that Jesus is coming again? Somebody say hallelujah. He really is. This is the word of God. This is truth. I remember one time when the Lord said to me, Patricia, how is it that I've made you a prophetic voice, but you don't know the particulars of the ultimate prophecy of all time? My coming again. I'm like, good point, God. And so then I just began to study the scriptures since 2008. Just really study the scriptures as it pertains to his coming. And I tell you, he's calling us to live ready, all right? Live ready. Don't listen to any of the naysayers or whatever. There's an urgency of the hour, and he's really calling his bride to be prepared. And so, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And, you know, I just want to bless the, as soon as I came in this room, I just felt like the Lord saying, this room is full of faithful, faithful people, faithful remnants of my people in America. Do you know we pray for you? We pray for you a lot. We do. We really care. I know Americans don't know much about Canada, but we know a lot about you, and we really pray for you. And I believe that, you know, just as I walked in this room and just felt the faithful people, the faithful prayer, the faithfulness of righteousness, just felt about God's blessing over America. Because sometimes we can just look at the negative and do you know, I'm reading through again in Genesis, but did you know that Sodom, that theologians and scholars have estimated that Sodom was at least 10,000 people in Sodom at that time? So remember when God spoke to Abram and Abram said, would you preserve it for like 50? And he said, yeah. It went all the way down to 10 people. God would preserve Sodom if there was 10 righteous, but there wasn't. But what's that? If that city is around 10,000, that's like one for every 1,000 people, one righteous for every 1,000 people. How many righteous does God have in places like Marion, Ohio, in America? Come on, God wants to so bless this nation, turn this nation back to him in a big way. I have a lot of faith for what's ahead. Thank you, Lord. I just asked if the worship guy could come back because I so felt during worship that the Lord wanted to heal people. I just feel the presence of the Lord is here for healing, for miracles. So we just want to say, yes, God, you know, whatever you want to do. And so, yeah, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, more. Thank you that you're here. And we just say more, more of you, more of your power, more of your presence, more of your fire. You know, if you have, I'm sensing somebody has back pain, but it has to do with an accident of some kind or an injury. It's not just like, oh, I got a sore back because I, whatever, but an injury that you sustained an injury in or an accident, you still lingering back pain. If that's you, I'd like you to stand wherever you are. And then also, I really felt about arthritis, like arthritis pain, especially where there's been some range of motion. You know, it's just like it's hard to you know, really have that. Yeah, just I just want to mention my grandmother, nice little Christian Reformed lady who never knew anything about prophecy. My grandmother heard the audible voice of God, no joke, audible voice of God say to her, pray for yourself. Now, she was had arthritic pain all through her body. She's always praying for everybody else. Three times, audible voice of God, pray for yourself. Finally, she prayed for herself, and she was instantly healed of arthritis. I have a lot of faith for arthritis to be healed. The other thing was, I just saw somebody whose mind, you just felt like you've been, like, I don't know if you're brave enough, please stand for this, but it's like this sense of confusion, or also where there's been sometimes where you just forget things or memory loss or whatever. I just felt like God wanted to quicken the brain cells. And maybe a wife is nudging to her husband to get up, but I'll leave that up to you. But anyways, just God's just going to do something of like, it's like confusion leaving, and I saw that. And very clearly, I saw a child. I'm not sure if the child is here or if a parent or somebody wants to stand for this child with a learning disability. Some sort of learning disability, you know, whatever it is. I'm not sure if it was dyslexia or if that, all right. So let's just put our eyes on Jesus. And by the way, if you're not standing, I'd love it, and God would love it, if you just turn around and lay hands on somebody, okay? Because this same spirit that dwells in you and me, right? Or the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and me. All right, everybody standing, just say this. It's a little prayer, but we're just lifting our eyes to Jesus. This healing belongs to me. Say that. Because of what Jesus has done, I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Whoa, Lord, let your fire fall right now in Jesus' name. For some of you with an injury, it might have been an accident or a car accident or something. I just feel like release forgiveness. Whoever it is that caused that car accident, even if it's yourself, just say, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I forgive that other driver. Or I forgive that person who dropped that thing or whatever it is. Just release forgiveness. Oh, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let your fire fall. Let your healing come. Arthritis, you bow to the name of Jesus. Arthritis and arthritic pain, you go now. We speak range of motion, full range of motion in joints, full range of motion in the name of Jesus. Healing flows, fire fall in Jesus' name. In the mind, in the brain, just clarity of the mind, confusion goes. Also, just take authority over everything of discouragement, where sometimes you can just feel like you're in a funk. You know, that discouragement comes off. Break that power of discouragement. Clarity of the mind in Jesus' name, even where, you know, memory and thought patterns and all of that. Father, let your fire fall. Let your healing come. Ho, ho, ho. Lord, just take, you know, I really see God just wants out of the box. He wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that this God of miracles, it's not about me. It's about us receiving what was paid for on that cross. You want to get what you paid for, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Healing over that child in Jesus' name with learning disabilities. We speak that there's going to be a shift from today onward. There's going to be a shift in that child's brain and thinking patterns and learning patterns. And we just bring dyslexia down in Jesus' name. Turning the brain to think right way. Those words, see them the right way. In Jesus' name, fire, 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 flow. Flow, flow, flow. Healing. Somebody's neck is being healed. I think that was part of a, you know, just a jolt or some sort of injury. Healing on that neck. Lord, clarity on the spine where the spine is aligning. The spine is aligning. Lord, align the spine where it needs to be aligned. Let your fire fall. Somebody with reoccurring headaches or migraines. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Even tonight, headaches go, headaches go right now in Jesus' name. Lifts off, fire of God, flow, 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 flow. We talked about arthritis, but I see knees, whether it's arthritis or not, healing in the knee, healing in the knees, healing in the knee right now. Father, let your fire fall. Whoa, we receive that. You want to get you what you paid for on that cross. Psalm 103, he forgives all our sins and heals all diseases. Diseases bow to the name of Jesus. Say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ho, 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 ho. Fire. 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 Fire on the back. Fire. Some of you feel a heat. You feel something shifting. Yeah, more, Lord. If that's you, if you feel something is shifting, something is better, or you're feeling that heat or presence or something, can you just wave at me if you feel anything shifting? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Wow, that's awesome. Can some of you come on up here? Come on up. I want to hear what God is doing. Some of you that are, you're feeling something shift, come on up here just real quick, because it builds our faith. You know, I love what Bill Johnson says when he's here, a testimony. It means, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Some of you are feeling the heat, or you're feeling something better, or the pain is lifted, even if it's somewhat. Come on up here. Hey, darling, you were just waving so enthusiastically. Hi, what's up?
I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that he was fixing any mental illness that was going on with my baby girl. I heard it.
Come on, let's just pray for her, Kim. Father, we say yes. We agree with that in Jesus' name. Fire of God, we break mental illness. Even where that confusion I saw in the mind, that God was healing the mind and doing something fresh in the mind, the clarity in the mind. Come and break in, power of God. There is nothing too difficult for our God. There is nothing too difficult. Believe, believe, fire, fire, more, Lord. Yeah, more, Lord. Hi, darling, come over here. Hey.
Yeah, pain in my back from a car wreck where a girl had hit me. And the patrolman didn't handle it well, so I had to forgive. So I, both of them. But, yeah, the pain's gone.
Come on, the pain's gone. That is so awesome. Now, wow, what's your name? Did you notice, Sandy, did you notice that when you released that forgiveness that something happened? Or
like a lift.
Wow.
The lightness.
Yeah, come on. There's such a key there many times is when we forgive. Somebody needs to hear that. Do you know that we actually saw two accidents on our way here? Thank God we were not in one of them. It was interesting because there was this white truck behind, in front of me, and white truck behind me, and I was following the GPS and took a slower way, and that white truck, one of them, got in an accident just in front of us. And anyways, but I was thanking God for the angels. But many times we have to release forgiveness to that one who caused it. I think in that case, he went through a stop sign. Father, you know, we just release forgiveness right now. The one who hurt us, wounded us, whatever. Somebody, I feel like somebody had a motorcycle incident, whether accident, incident, a motorcycle incident. Lord, we just release forgiveness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Sandy. That was awesome.
Hi. Last year, I was in an accident about last year this time. And it was whiplash. I was the second recipient of the car accident. But when I released forgiveness, I felt like an adjustment in my back.
Come on. Whoa. There's an adjustment in our spirit and then an adjustment in the body. Fire on her, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for total healing and never to return. In Jesus' name, bless her. Father, thank you. That's awesome, Sherry. Thank you. Hi, come on up.
I'm trying to do this without crying. I was in a car accident in 2009 with my friend, and I got hurt real bad. I've suffered for years from it, and I got messed over, you know, from the insurance. I never got a penny. I got all kinds of bills, and I had such anger and bitterness in me, and I just let it go tonight. I gave it to God.
Come on. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, the Holy Spirit is all over her. I tell you, you can feel it. Holy Spirit is all over her. Wow. And you know what? We call in return from what the enemy has stolen from you. We call it in right now. The Proverbs 6, sevenfold return, sevenfold return, sevenfold return for everything that has been robbed of you. We call it in. We call it in. I just see checks in the mail, blessings, Father, financial prosperity, breakthrough in every area. Thank you, God, for turning this thing all around. Call it forth. Call it forth. Whoa, whoa. In Jesus' name, sevenfold return. Yes, Lord. Everybody said amen. Whoa. Whoa. Okay, stay right there. What's your name anyways?
Christine.
Tell you, God is all over this woman. Whoa. Ha. You know what? There's something. God is doing something of a hell. God is doing something of financial turnaround for her, but I believe that's for more than her. If you need a financial breakthrough, I want you to stand up right now in Jesus' name. I just feel like God is going to turn debt. He's going to break the power of debt. Do you know? Well, Father, yes, Lord. Father, yes. We declare right now, those of you who need freedom from debt, I see these jaws of debt being broken. Father, we break the power of debt. And Lord, I just bless financial wisdom and I bless giving and tithing. But Lord, you are breaking debt off your people. There's a financial turnaround. You know what? I see people testifying right here in the front of this church about a financial miracle. You're going to have a financial miracle. You need to tell Pastor about it because God is about to pour out financial miracles. Whoa. Fire. This is going to seem so ridiculous. That's why I didn't stand up to give offering tonight because I'm like, I have a little bit of American money that I left in the car. This is Canadian money, okay? We have colored money. I just feel, I'm not sure what, maybe you're going to go to Canada. But I, you know what? This, if I never get asked back here, that's okay. But I feel like for some of you, I don't know if it's necessarily now or later, but some of you are feeling, I need to give this woman some money. I need to sow into her. I've never done this before. But anyways, I just bless you. If you're hearing that from God, I bless you to be obedient to that because there's something of a turning in her life. Oh my goodness. There's something of a turning for her that's going to turn things for you. Father, you're breaking the spirit of debt and lack. And Lord, we thank you, God, for pouring out an abundance of blessings. Whoa. Oh my goodness. You guys are amazing. Whoa. Woo. Whoa. Wow. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Oh my goodness. Wow, you guys are so awesome. I hope this is okay, Pastor. Get permission later. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we have just witnessed a miracle tonight. Father, come on, somebody give praise to Jesus. That is amazing. Holy moly. Praise God. Wow. Holy. Somebody, yeah, take a picture of this. This is good. Oh, Lord. Father, I just thank you for everyone who sowed into this, God, that you are just a reaping back, God, sowing and reaping. Father, thank you. Lord, we love you. Oh, we honor you in this place. Lord, more. Just keep pouring out. Keep pouring out. Keep receiving your healing, by the way. I see somebody with a tooth thing going on, too. A tooth problem or jaw problem. Healing in your jaw. Healing in your mouth, your jaw, your tooth. Father, let it come. Let the pain just immediately lift. Healing in Jesus' name. Wow. You're so awesome, God. Pour out. Does anybody know what time we are in the Jewish calendar? Does anybody know? We just passed Rosh Hashanah, the new year. What are we in right now? Who knows? Technically, though, we're in what's called the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe, which is also known as the 10 days of repenting. And before the Day of Atonement, this year is October 12th. God, we thank you for the awe of God just coming upon us and coming upon Marion. You know, I just want to prophesy something over this region. I tell you, I kept being drawn to combines and beautiful harvest and cornfields and the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And I feel like the Lord is going to give you a harvest of souls in this place. I just want to bless the harvest of souls. I see young people in particular. See young people. It's amazing with that prophecy over this this guy here with a gray t-shirt. You know, and I also just want to echo evangelism, but not just him. It's like where there's going to be an anointing of evangelism, even where you've shared before and you felt like you got nowhere. I see the Lord really causing there to be a real ingathering of souls in this house. And there's young youth, teenagers, young adults, young families. They're really sick of their lives. They're tired of life being mundane and boring and filled with pain. And I see the Lord saying, the harvest is coming. The harvest is ripe. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Share your testimony. You know, share your testimony. I see students on high school, you know, getting bold for Jesus, you know, praying around the pole and more. So, Lord, I just thank you for young people, prodigal sons and daughters. Somebody here, you've got, well, there's some moms and dads here tonight that you've got prodigal sons and daughters. I tell you, I see prodigal sons and daughters coming and weeping before the Lord. And discarding the things that have held them back, whether it's a drug or whether it's a relationship or whether it's just, you know, worthless living. So I feel to say to you, get ready for the harvest. Get ready. Get ready. Pray. Yes. Get ready. Whatever that looks like, you need the leaders, you need the disciplers, the ones that, you know, the fish coming in, but they need to be clean. They need to be taught. They need to be loved. So I just bless the harvest of souls coming in this place. It is now. It's not just next year or next month, or it's now. Now, 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 now. Father, pour it out in Jesus' name. We say yes. Souls, souls, prodigal sons and daughters turning to the Father. Turning in Jesus' name. How? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Bless you. Wow. Well, we're already having fun. I do have a few books that I had sent here. I think they're at the back, or they were at the back, or they will be at the back. This is my daughter, Zoe, by the way. Zoe, stand up. She's 16, and Zoe is one of six children. She's our second youngest child. And I did write a book called Raising Burning Hearts about parenting and mentoring next generation lovers of God. So we have some phenomenal kids. Three are married, three are at home. And so this is published by IHOP. Mike Bickle wrote the foreword. Convergence is all about destiny. Every chapter is a key to destiny, like Father's love and healing of the heart and, you know, prophetic hearing God's voice, that sort of stuff. And so those are at the back. Zoe will be there later. I did write a new book that's not quite published yet about prophecy, prayer, and the power of God's word. But anyways, Lord, we love you. Let your fire fall. And thank you for this gathering tonight. And Lord, I thank you for lasting fruit, that we be changed by your glory. Lord, that you take us from glory to glory, that we are not the same as we walk out of this place and more in love with you than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, you know, we're going to talk tonight about living your prophetic destiny and living that call that God has for you and for me. And how many know that there is more? Oh, one person. I see one hand. Thank you. There is more. More for you. You're still breathing, okay? You haven't left the planet yet. So God has more for you to see unfold, to conquer, to be able to accomplish in Him. And I really have a big thing about destiny. I was like, oh, God, I want to fulfill my destiny. I just always have been that way, even as a little girl. It's like, God, I want to fulfill my destiny. God, I want to fulfill my destiny. I was 8 years old. I love driving through these cornfields today, because how in the world was I driving through cornfields? I'm not sure if I was driving the right way. But anyways, I did come. There's two ways to come here from Toronto, the south of the Lake Erie or north of Lake Erie. And I chose south this time. Beautiful Niagara Falls. That's what we saw today. But anyways, awesome cornfields. But I was raised in a farm. So I am a farmer's daughter. My dad was also a real estate broker. But I was on the farm 8 years old when I had these people, two of them came to visit the family farm. And I remember them prophesying over me, and they said, you're going to go to the nations, and you're going to preach, and you're going to tell people about Jesus, and you're going to do all this stuff. And I'm 8 years old, and I go to a church that the women do nothing but make tea and put out the cake. That's it. So I'm like, But my heart was burning, burning, burning. I'm 8 years old. I didn't actually get saved till I was 12. But that prophecy marked me. That prophecy changed me. Now, I can't prove it. I don't know. God only knows. But when I said to my mom, I said, man, who are those people that are telling me all about my life? And she's, well, what people? I never saw anybody. I'm like, you were right there. So they could have been angels in human form. I don't know. But all I know is I saw them. I heard them. And I'm living that prophecy right now. And I was just like, God, I want to fulfill this. I want to finish well. I hope you want to finish well. There is more for us. So I want to look at this. Let's unpack some of this from the scriptures. I love the word of God. I hope you love the word of God. Psalm 139 says, here, darling, hey, that was kind of fun, wasn't it? Money just thrown at you and you have your clothes on. Okay, that's a really bad joke. Sorry, Pastor. He doesn't know me, you know. Psalm 139. Let's get back. Psalm 139 speaks of how God has chosen us in our mother's womb. Isn't that awesome? Fearfully and wonderfully made, and my eyes saw your substance being unformed. All this awesome. Look at verse 16, Psalm 139. My eyes, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. And in your book, come on, in your book, they were all written the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Whoa. What? In your book? Now, in a moment, I'm going to give you some more verses. And by the way, this goes on to say, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them that they would be more than the number of the sand of the sea. Now, how many, do you know what? One handful of sand is said to be about 10,000 grains. Now, think about the fact that God is thinking about you as often as the grains of sand on a seashore. Anybody been to the beach? I don't think you have the beach in Marion, but you know what I mean. And by the way, when we learn to hear God's voice, we just tap into those God's thoughts for us. And when we learn to prophesy, we just tap into God's thoughts for somebody else. That's what they were doing up there. They were just tapping into God's thoughts for somebody. It's really actually quite easy. You just have to tune into it. But look at that. What? There's a book written about me, about my life. Now, it goes on. We can look at other scriptures such as 2 Timothy 1:9. Paul says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, God had a plan for you. In Acts 17, it talks about that God has predetermined the appointed times we should live and the boundaries in which we will dwell. Did you know that? God has appointed where you will live and when you will live there. All of these incredible things, Ephesians 2, we are created and we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has got this phenomenal destiny, this phenomenal plan. Hebrews 10, it even says of Jesus, listen to this, verse 5, Hebrews 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I say, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus even has the book. Yes, the former scriptures, 300 different references to his first coming. By the way, about 8 times that, about 2,400 different references or verses to his second coming. And he fulfilled every one of those 300 ones in the Old Testament. And he will fulfill all the 2,400 of his second coming. It is written. There's books in heaven. One time, you know, I've had a few times where just like, you know, incredible encounters where I was like my spirit in heaven and my body in earth, similar to 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul talks about in the spirit, out of the spirit, or in the body, I don't know. But I remember one time seeing all these books, and I just knew that it was this heavenly encounter. And I saw all these books, and I'm like, I knew they were the books of people's lives. And then I saw all these books that had like a golden hue about them. They looked golden. And then there was these other books, and they looked more like shadowed, or that's how I can describe it, like a shadow, darker, but like a shadow over them. And I was wondering and thinking, and then all of a sudden the answer came. I was like, wonder what the difference. And I was told that those golden books were the books of the believers, of the people who knew Jesus. And then the ones that were shadow were either pre-Christians or the ones who didn't know him. Now, this is interesting because in Revelation 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment. And I'm not here to talk about end times, but basically that's where the unbelievers are judged. And it says about, I saw the great white throne in Revelation 20:11. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. Yet another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, that's a book you want to make sure your name is in, okay? The book of life. But it says this, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and Hades and death delivered them up. And they were judged according to their works. And it goes on to talk about, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Interesting. I have a Dutch heritage. My parents were born in Holland, and they immigrated to Canada. My great-grandmother on my mother's side was on her deathbed when all of a sudden she sat up and said to those that were around, she said, I hear the angels singing. And as clear as anything, she was saying, I hear them singing. Oh, and then I see my life, the book of my life. And she said, my sin. And then she kept going. She said, it's blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has blotted out my sin. I see him. And then she died. That is a true story. That's a true story. She heard the angels. She saw the words of her life blotted out by the blood of Jesus. And then he came for her and she died. How many are glad for the eraser called the blood of Jesus? Praise God. You have a book about your life, but do you know that your sin is erased by the blood of Jesus when you ask for forgiveness? Come on and believe on him. This is good news, church. This is really good news. So there is a destiny, a book in heaven written about your life. What is yet to come? What is God's plan for you? Now, how can we get there? How can we know what is in that book? Or how can we live it? And you know, there's big things and there's small things. But I do know this. I want to get to heaven and meet him face to face and hear those words, well done. As opposed to, well, you know, I had all this other stuff for you to do, but, come on. Let's never live with regret, especially regret on that day. Come on, somebody say amen. We don't want to regret, like Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, burying our talents because we were too afraid to step out or afraid of fear or afraid of risk or afraid of looking stupid, whatever. You know, where God is saying, no, use what I've given you for my glory. I'll never forget. That was just this other heavenly encounter that changed my life forever. And I remember I was just, I don't know, worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, I see all of these people who I know are my family tree. They're my family, like people in my ancestors. And in my mother's side, they were Huguenots. I don't know if you've ever known that term, but it's the persecuted French believers years ago in the 1700s. There was 20,000 killed in one day. These are radical believers. They had to flee France and the Inquisition. My mother's maiden name is Corvairs. It's actually French. So she, her ancestors, fled to Holland. So anyway, so I see all these people, and I actually saw my grandmother, and she's been dead for 10 years or so, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can see you. I'm not dead yet. And I was like just kind of wondering at this when all of a sudden I heard them say, no, you are Patricia, and we are cheering you on. Now, by the way, that gave me a whole new vision of the great cloud of witnesses. Do you know what the great cloud of witnesses? A lot of them are made up of people who know you or who've gone on before you, as well as the angels, I think, yeah. Anyways, they said, you know, you have the capacity to bring light into dark places. But they said, our race is over and our time is done. Tell them of this place and tell them he's worth it all. He's worth it all. Oh, my goodness. I was a wreck. I wept after that, and I was, oh, God, you're worth it all. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. See, they were from a heavenly perspective, from an eternal perspective. He's worth it all when we forsake unrighteousness. He's worth it all when we show up on a Friday night, you know, when we could be seeing a movie or whatever. He's worth it all when we choose to pray, when we choose to forgive, when we choose to love, when we lay down our rights and say, you are my defender. He is worth it all. He will pay you back and he'll pay us back. Wow. He is worth it all. So I was just, God, every day that I live and every breath that I breathe, I want it to be lived for your glory because you are worth it all. How do we get there? Well, number one, we need to believe, don't we? First of all, believing in salvation through Jesus' blood, yes. But we also need to believe for our identity and believe for what has God said to you. Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who believed that there would be things, those things would be fulfilled that the Lord has spoken to her. Now, some of you, you get prophetic words. Great. What do you do with your prophetic words? Oh, there's another thing right there. What do you do with your prophetic words? I'd like to talk about that a little bit, at least today or tomorrow, Sunday morning. But let me just say this. You have to believe them, pray them or decree them, and then do something about them. If you know it's God, you got to judge them first, right? You got to know if it's God or not. I have a daughter. She just FaceTimed me on the way here. She's in Geneva, Switzerland. She lives in Geneva, Switzerland. I have a son who's a youth pastor in the church called, in the Stratford Church we used to pastor. Have a daughter on staff in Kansas City in the International House of Prayer. She and her husband are on staff there. Another daughter in Geneva, Switzerland, who married an amazing Swiss guy. And she teaches English at a Christian school, and then with three at home. But this daughter, Aquila is her name, which means eagle. And she phoned me. But you know, Aquila, when she was 5, 6, 7, I took Mark Verkler, he's a Baptist pastor who teaches about hearing the voice of God, took that stuff and I downsized it to kid version because I homeschooled my kids and homeschooled them still and taught them how to hear God's voice. So then they're, you know, as soon as they could read or write, they were, you know, journaling. And so Zoe journals every day. Her 13-year-old sister is the youngest one, journals every day. So anyway, so Aquila is like 6, you know, 7, 8. And she says, Mom, I got to learn French. I need to learn French. We're like, okay, well, you got to learn French in Canada anyways. But I kept getting like Rosetta Stone 1, 2, 3 in French. That's a language program. Then get French tutors. And she kept wanting more French, more French, more French. But she really did act on that. Well, guess what? She married a first language French guy and teaches English in a French Christian school in the French city of Geneva, Switzerland. Come on. But she actually did something about the word. Right now, my husband, she's flying from San Jose, California to Kansas City, but he was in Ed Silvoso's conference, Ed Silvoso being an incredible transformation revivalist originally from Argentina. But I love what I was reading Ed's book, That None Should Perish, and he said this, as you've heard this phrase, the first step in a journey of 1,000 miles, the first thing to do, it starts with one step, doesn't it? Because he talks about when he was so shy and he was such a shy teenager and he wanted to share Jesus, but he was petrified in the bus and then he couldn't open his mouth to share Jesus. And then he thought, well, I'll start praying for them. And that's what he did. And then he would leave a track behind his back on the bus so that when he got up, the person next to him would find the track. And then later he got a little more bold and then he actually put a track in somebody's hand. And now he's taking cities for Jesus. But it's that one step. It's that weak, immature, yes, Lord, yes, I'm scared and I don't even know what I'm really saying yes to, but yes. Because he's looking for our willingness. He's not going to force you to do anything. What are you doing about your prophetic words? I remember getting all the, you know, the word when I was younger, but lots of dreams, picked out of the crowd every time. But you know what the bread and butter was for us for a period of time? My husband was a bank manager. He was pastoring everybody in the bank, but that's what he did. He was a banker. And I was a registered nurse, and I'd given that up when I gave birth to our first child, which is our son. And I remember the district manager would come to John sometimes. John, why are there people crying in your office? This is ridiculous. Because John is pastoring everybody in the bank. And these little old ladies are telling them their problems, you know, and the tellers, he works with all these female tellers, they all tell them their sexual problems, and that's just what he always wired, right? And so he is so faithful, and so finally I said, God, what about all those prophecies about pastoring and ministry? And hey, God, I don't even need another prophecy, okay? I what I need is some fulfillment. That's what I need. How can you transfer prophecies for fulfillment? And I'll never forget when the Lord spoke to me. He said, what are you doing about your prophecies? I said, well, I'm complaining. He said, yeah, stop it. I want you to call in your prophecies. I want you to remind me of your prophecies. And I want you to start living your prophecies. I'm like, I didn't know how to do that. Did you know that your prophecies are conditional? Come on. They are conditional upon your response. And there are some collective prophecies that are conditional upon collective response. Let's say the prophecies over America. They are conditional upon the response of the American people, the American Christian people. By the way, can I just say this? I'm from Canada, so I can tell you this. Did you know that there are 60 million American Christians who are of voting age? Of those 60 million, there are 30 million, only 30 million, who are actually registered to vote. And then of that 30 million in the last election, only 15 million actually voted. That's of the, come on, that's one quarter of the Christians. Can I just give you a little spanking tonight? Is that okay? From mama back up in Canada? Come on, church, vote for heaven's sakes. Ask God. Okay, I know who I would vote for, but I'm a Canadian, so I can't vote anyways. But let me just say this, pray and do something. So anyway, so I'm like, God, okay, I'm tired of, I need the fulfillment, but it's conditional. So I began to walk around this house that I call forth the pastor and my husband. I call forth that ministry anointing. I just call forth all those prophecies, God, of telling people about Jesus and winning people to you. And I'm reminding you of your prophecies. Well, it was 6 months later when we knew John and Carol Arnott from way back. I knew them since I was 10 years old, and they married us and whatnot. So they were drowning in revival in Toronto. We had been with them in their first church plant in Stratford. And it was 6 months after that, deciding to really go after those prophecies, that they asked us to come on staff, 1995, in Toronto. Millions, 3 million people had come through the door in the first, I think it was 3 years. And, you know, phenomenal things happening, but just explosive growth. And so we came on staff in 1995 and have been doing all those things. Now, I learned something. I have other prophecies. I have other things I'm believing for. I have other things that I'm trusting God for. But I have a part to play in the fulfillment of those prophecies. Believing, praying, declaring, and doing something. Living them. You know, I believing for, you know, when we had one son, five daughters, and when our son became 2 years old, I remember all the people saying, oh, terrible twos, here come the terrible twos. I'm like, doesn't sound like God. Flush. I'm going to flush that one down the toilet. I'm going to call it the terrific twos. Woohoo! Terrific twos. Guess what? We had terrific twos. And then it was like teenagers. Oh, teenagers, you know, you're going to have rebellion. Well, we have three teenagers right now. We've had six. I started to declare this. I said, we will not have one day of teenage rebellion. Guess what? We have not had one day of teenage rebellion. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm saying hallelujah. All right. But it's, you know, what we believe, but also what we declare, what you speak, what comes out of your mouth. Come on, church. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if you're, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, well, that's what you're going to get. Come on, it's time that we stop agreeing with the enemy and we start agreeing with God. What does God say? He doesn't say you're fat and ugly, okay? I'll tell you that right now. God is... What are the thoughts that you have towards me, God? Jeremiah 29:11, thoughts of a hope and a future to bless you and prosper you. I'm a farm girl from, like, Canada. And do you know when I was asked to speak in grade 7, started a Christian school that year, asked to share something from the scriptures, I stood up, a frog in my throat, my face went red, I couldn't get a word out. And I believe this lie for years, like, you cannot speak in public. That is not your gifting. If you do, you will embarrass yourself. I got out of every public speaking thing when I was in school. No kidding. I would be sick or somebody else would do it. I bought a lie that the enemy had fed me, which God was saying was actually a gift of my life. I don't even know why I'm sharing that story, because somebody needs to hear that. You need to hear that, because you bought a lie and you've been bound by a fear that has been totally of the enemy and not of God. And it's time to break your agreement. Heaven and hell are both looking for human agreement. Who are you going to agree with? Who am I going to agree with? And when I thought I was, you know, nobody and this and that, and it's like the Lord began to break in and say, what do I say? Believe me. And this is the whole thing about, you know, what does God say about your kid? Maybe your kid is doing drugs right now. Maybe, you know, whatever. But what does God say? I would never, ever, ever give up hope if I were you. I'd be praying and declaring, my son is going to come to Jesus. I'm going to see the day when he turns around. And my grandmother prayed, you know, even for until she went to heaven, she prayed for my uncle and said this, God, don't let him leave the planet without knowing you. That's what she said. Guess what? He was on his deathbed from cancer when he turned to Jesus. My grandma was in heaven already by that time. Her prayer beyond the grave was answered when he radically turned to Jesus. Believe. So we're going to stop agreeing with the enemy's plan, the lies. You know what Amos 2 verse 4 says? It speaks of judgment coming on the nation of Judah. Because listen to this. Because they've despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, their lies led them astray, lies which their fathers followed. Whoa. Sometimes there's lies that are generational. Sometimes there's stuff generational. Maybe there's been racist lies generationally. Maybe there's been, I don't know, maybe anxiety in your mother. And you're like, I don't want to be like my mother. And then you're feeling that anxiety. You know what it is? Sometimes we need to get rid of some generational demons. That's what we need to do. I remember in nursing, you have to take a turn in every field of nursing. So I was in mental health, learning in mental health. And there was like, oh, this, you know, suicide, uncle, suicide, the grandmother, suicide, the brother. And they're all like, well, you know, there's no gene for suicide. I'm like, that's a family demon. Hello. That's what I would see from that. Come on, we need to be set free from that stuff. But guess what? The cross of Christ is paid for you to be free. It's paid for me to be free. We need to appropriate it. I'm a big believer in inner healing, by the way. I've had boatloads of it. Because I struggled a lot in my relationship with my dad, who was particularly abused by his father. And my father became an abuser. And so I didn't grow up knowing the father's love or any of that stuff. It was a fearsome thing for me. And when God was trying to break in with the truth of his love, it was like all my, you know, the lies of I'm not good enough, or I'm not lovable, or I can't. All that had to be shattered by the truth of what my Father in heaven said about me. Whoa, because all of this was like, you can't, you won't, you can't, you're not good enough, you're not this. And then it would be, Father, my God would say, I love you, I've called you, just say yes and walk with me. And then when I began to stop agreeing with the accuser and start agreeing with God, that's when things turned around in my life. And by the way, I want to fast forward the story and say my dad got saved at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 14 years old. And his life began to really get transformed. And my dad and I have an amazing relationship now. He's 85 years old. So the Lord has absolutely turned that around. But what is it? Sometimes we need to get set free from these lies, from the hurts of life. Sometimes we've been, you know, fear of intimacy because we've been wounded by relationships or wounded or whatever. Or the demonic. There's a good one. Deliverance. Whoa. There was a gal praying up there about freedom, and I just felt like some people were getting deliverance tonight. Yay. You know what? Freedom from discouragement, depression, from whatever. God is bigger. God is greater. So how do we know? Well, we want to stop agreeing with the enemy. We want to believe what God says. And then we also, it's spiritually discerned. Listen to what Psalm 40, verse 5 to 8 says. I know you don't read it all. Psalm 40, you know, it talks again about many of your thoughts towards me. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. Then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. My ear you have opened. Isaiah 55 says, incline your ear to hear and you will live. It goes, 1 Corinthians 2 says it this way, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of the man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The natural man does not receive them for their foolishness to him, because they're spiritually discerned. Say spiritually discerned. All right, so here's one level of reality. The doctor said that you have this particular diagnosis. Okay, guess what? There's another realm of reality. It's called what God says. And it's called what's spiritually discerned. And as we begin to practice spiritual discerning or hearing the voice of God, you grow in your ability to have confidence in that. Now, you know, you don't start by standing on a stage and start prophesying over somebody. God, I haven't heard you for a year, but please give me a word. No, it doesn't start that way. It starts with you and God at home, all right, in your closet, if you will, in your prayer time saying, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through your word. Speak to me through the still small voice. And then the many other ways like dreams and visions and all of that. We could go into it. Things in the natural, speak of the supernatural. I'm going to talk about prayer on Sunday. Do you know how God first taught us to up our prayer life? He sent a praying mantis to my doorstep of my Toronto home every morning for 3 weeks. And I'm not joking. You know what a praying mantis is? You have a little insect with its hands raised in prayer at my Toronto home every morning for 3 weeks. I'm like, are you trying to tell me something? Yes, I am. It's time to increase your prayer life. Well, thank you, God. I got the message. It's spiritually discerned. So when our daughter, the Gabrielle, the one on staff at IHOP, when she was 20, I think she's 23, she's 23 right now. When she was 20 and diagnosed with a tumor on her thyroid, and the naturopath said, every indication to me says this is cancer. And where the surgeon said, we're going to have to remove her entire thyroid. And I'm crying out to God because it was that fine line between fear and faith. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like fear. Ah, it's my 20-year-old daughter. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And then there's faith. And I remember the Lord speaking to me through that still small voice and saying, she's fine. I'm going to heal her. I'm like, hey, God, have you heard what those guys are saying? That surgeon just said it's all going to come out. And now we get, it's like, I'm going to heal her. So I remember just battling it and saying, God, you know, I believe in doctors. I think it's great. I worked in the medical field. But the higher realm of reality was here. Now, I lead the House of Prayer in Toronto, and all my House of Prayer team fasted for 10 days for my daughter. And I remember going in for that biopsy with her. And this thing had a measurement to it. It was something like, 3 centimeters across, and it was palpable. We could palpate it. We go in for the biopsy, and just taking a while, I'm sitting in the waiting room, and finally she comes out, and the technician is with her and said, ma'am, I'm surprised to tell you this, but there's nothing there to biopsy. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love you. He shrunk the whole thing. Come on. But there's this higher realm of reality. What does God say? What does God say? What does God say? You know, we have some incredible prophetic people on our team. And I don't know, sometimes I'm challenged in some of the stuff that they hear God in. But I tell you, the Lord is working. It's kind of funny, the same daughter. We've taught our kids, by the way. I always like to give a little pitch on dating. Who's got... Bring the young people. I want them to hear my pitch on dating. Do you know that there's a difference between cultural dating now and biblical dating in the Bible? Come on. Our culture is very different from that context. Our culture says, well, you can start to date when you're 12 and, you can hang out. And if there's a good looking guy and then break up with him. And then let's go. So, and then you can break up with him. And by the time you get married, you've had like 20 breakups, okay, or 20 mini divorces. And your heart is a wreck and songs are written and tears are cried and broken hearts. And oh, my goodness. In the Bible, relationships was in the context of marriage, was in the context of the family, healthy family, but within the family. So we said to our kids, and by the way, I didn't know this when I was growing up. I was a mess, and I had all these boyfriends and all that stuff. But I knew there was a higher way because God began to reveal it. And we said to our children, we said, you know what? We're asking you not to date. We're asking you to wait, hang out in groups, have fun, do the stuff that, you know, with your friends. But we're asking you to wait because we're all going to hear God together of who your spouse is going to be. And you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. And they were like, okay. And our son, you know, took a Nazarite vow, so our other daughters in the period of time, like, I remember our son took this Nazarite vow, which really means consecrated, separated unto the Lord. And so he said, I'm not going to date anybody all through high school and whatnot. I'm just going to, and he went on to different schools of ministry, including Hillsong's Music College in Sydney, Australia. And he's a super handsome dude, 6'6" tall. And I remember when he came home from Hillsong, and we had hired a children's worker, a YWAM girl. And he looked at her and he said to me, Mom, she's going to be my wife. And we're like, ah, we didn't know we hired our daughter-in-law. But the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, he showed me this is indeed your daughter-in-law. And you know, it was amazing because when our son then, you know, spoke with her, that was his first girlfriend. On their engagement, his first kiss, when they got married, of course, their first sexual encounter. And I thought, this is a prototype of what I believe that God is doing in the earth, raising up young people who radically love Jesus. I have seen too many young people, 21 years of being a pastor, I've seen too many young people derailed by relationships. I've seen too many amazing potential in young people that they get off because their heart. You know what? I think I'm speaking to a lot of moms and dads here. Don't accept that as the norm in your house. Multiple dating relationships and dating at 12. It's not the biblical way. Next daughter. Actually, I knew my sons-in-laws before my daughters did. Same thing. I remember our son-in-law, he met our daughter, and he took one look at her, and he started a 40-day fast for her the day he met her. Said, God, that's got to be my wife. Fasted 40 days. After the 40-day fast, he said to her, can I take you on a date? She said, you got to talk to my parents. Anyways, the Lord had already spoken to me about this young man, and he's phenomenal, just an amazing young man, travels the world, works very closely with Mike Bickle, is one of Mike Bickle's right-hand men, and just an incredible young man. And I knew that was my son-in-law, and same for the next daughter. But I tell you, there is a higher way. See this prophetic gift, this ability to hear God, it isn't just about, you know, I don't know, it's for multitudes of things. Do you know what? I use the prophetic to get a parking spot. You probably don't use that in Marion, Ohio, but in Toronto, you need a prophetic gift to find a parking spot. Trust me. I'm like, oh, God, where is there a parking spot in this mass of cars? You say, oh, well, go down there and turn right and then go left. Ah, there's a parking spot. Happens every time. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I know a parking spot isn't that important. However, it is like testing our ability to hear God. Big things, little things. Who your children are going to marry, as well as, you know, what God says about you. Why else did the Lord speak in 1 Corinthians 14:1 and says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Come on, that's a command of the Lord. What is that word desire? It is zelo. Hey, girl in the white shirt, come over here. Guy, this dude in the green shirt, come over here. Now listen to me carefully. Zelo, this is what zelo means in the Greek, which is desire. Come over here. It means to pursue ardently, intensely, eagerly. It's like this very intense word. It says, go after with all your might. So the Lord says to pursue spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, right? All right. So you, darling, are going to be prophecy. Okay, your prophecy. So you're just walking, just saunter along there. All right, walk, walk, walk. You are going to zelo prophecy. Come on, let me see some zelo here. No, you got to go for it, go for it. Overtake, overtake, grab. Don't pass her. Okay, thank you very much. I'm sure you're going to win an acting Academy Award at some point. Zelo, go after spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. But you know those words over our life, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is given you through the laying on of hands of prophecy. He said, wage war for your prophecies. Does that sound complacent? Well, if God wants me to have it, he knows where I live. You know, I'm open. Well, I'm open if God wants me to. Well, does that sound like the kingdom of heaven suffers violence? Does that sound like wage war for your prophecies? Come on. We have to do something. God, I want what you have for me. God, I want what you have for my kids. God, I want it. I don't want to be robbed any longer. God, I believe it. I'm coming. I say yes. What are those small steps that you're saying to take? What are you saying? God. Remember when the Lord just landed on me one time in one of our prophetic council meetings, and he said, prophetic evangelism. I want you to put prophecy with evangelism. And I remember just being so undone for souls. And when I got home from those meetings, I'm like, I could talk myself out of this. How many of you know that you can talk yourself out of stuff? That's why sometimes you have to act quickly. So I knew when I got home, I got to do this right away before I talk myself out of this. So I grabbed this girl who would be open for anything. I said, we're going to the mall. Okay, we're at the mall in the food court. And the Lord says, see that lady with red hair? Go over and tell her I love her. So this is my first encounter with prophetic evangelism. Hi, we're Christians and we believe God speaks and he told me to tell you that he loves you. Well, God was so nice to give us an early success. That girl gave her life to Jesus. That girl's sister gave her life to Jesus. Her kid gave her life to Jesus. Her kid gave it. And they all started to join our church. Come on. That was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've had a few interesting prophetic evangelism encounters, but I would say this, to the glory of God, about 700 people have come to Jesus through out on the streets, coupling evangelism with prophecy. See, God is wanting us to hear him for us, our relationship with him. Yes, for you to prosper, for you to succeed, for you to be fruitful, but he also cares about a dying and lost world. And that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 14, the secrets of their heart are revealed and they fall on their face and say, surely God is among them. There's so much more. But God is calling us to live out the fullness of this calling and the fullness of our destiny. I remember saying one time, it was crazy. I hadn't ever said this before or really since. And I was speaking in a place called Washington Crossing, Pennsylvania. And I was there, and I just said, you know, I always felt my dad was called as a prophet, but he never attained to the call. I don't know why I said that. I just said that. And my dad is really bold. Everybody knows him. Like, he's one of these larger-than-life guys. But anyways, so I was flying home, and I'm in the airport, in Toronto's airport, and all of a sudden I get this text, and they said, get to this meeting right now. There's a prophet guy here, and he said, where's that woman that has 6 kids and milked cows growing up? And her dad was called as a prophet, but never attained to the call. I'm like, what? I said that for the first time in my life the day before. So I'm going to this meeting, and it's just like, it was like, why I'm saying that to say this, I believe that there's some dropped mantles. I think there's some, you know, John Arnott, I don't know if you know who that is, a founding pastor and the revivalist. Do you know his dad was an alcoholic? But his dad was visited by God one time and said, will you become an evangelist? And he said, no. Do you know, I can't count how many people John Arnott has won to Jesus. Why am I saying that? I feel like there's been some dropped mantles and some dropped calls where God is saying, will you pick it up? Will you pick up that call? Will you pick up that mantle? Will you pick up? It's your call. But there may be something of a generational component here. I remember my husband's father always wanted to go to Israel and always wanted to be in Israel. Never got to go to Israel. He's dead now. My husband is leaving for Israel in a couple weeks. My husband, we lead tours of Israel now. My husband's gone to Israel about 7 or 8 times. And he said that. He said, you know, I feel like I picked up something that my dad always wanted to do. And I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I believe that there's dropped mantles that God is saying, pick them up. Pick them up. Pick them up. Believe. Dare to believe. God of the impossible. Can I just have the, for a few moments, can I have the worship, or one of the worship guys just come back up for a second? Because I just want to minister into this for a moment. That the Lord is I believe he's calling us to pick out that which he's placed on our lives. What is written in the book in heaven about you? May you fulfill every sentence, every word, every God-ordained call and destiny. May we walk in the fullness of it. That we shed every evil plan to, you know, feed us lies or whatever, generational stuff or sin or traps that we, you know what, this 10 days of waiting, I looked it up, you can look it up, the 10 days of awe. It's also called the 10 days of repenting. The 10 days leading up for the Day of Atonement, the Judgment Day. It's to get rid of anything in our life that keeps us from God's best. What's the baggage? What's the unbelief? What's the lies? What's the things that we've been hanging on to? So awesome to hear people forgiving tonight, getting healed. Wow. Forgiveness. Jesus hanging on that cross. Father, forgive them. If he can do it in that state, we can forgive that guy who, you know, posted that social media thing. Or I forgave my dad about 1,000 times, but sometimes it was specific things that the Lord said, I want you free from this, so I want you to forgive your dad for this. I remember getting so frustrated with my kids when they spilled at the dinner table, which would happen all the time because there were 6 of them. And I'm like, God, I'm a grown, mature woman. Why am I getting so upset when they spill? And the Lord spoke to me, said, because your dad got upset with you when you spilled at the dinner table. I'm like, oh, I forgot. And so just very quickly, I said, I forgive my dad. Dad, I forgive you when you got so upset with me when I spilled. I just forget. And then, Lord, forgive me for judging my dad. Okay, there's an important part. Honor your father and your mother. Not if they're good, perfect, righteous people. Honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you. What you sow, you reap. So I was like, God, you know, judge not lest you do the very same things. God, forgive me. Where I've judged my dad, where I've judged my dad in this area, I'm repenting of that judgment right now. I tell you, something lifted off of me and I didn't get upset anymore when they spilled at the dinner table. It was like a knee-jerk reaction. What is it that's been a fox stealing from the vineyard? Or a thing that God is saying, ho, it's time to lay it down. I'm going to be so bold as to say, I believe that somebody here tonight, maybe more than one, is in a relationship that's not right for you. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm not saying divorce your wife or husband. I feel like there's a dating relationship that God is saying, you know, in your deepest inner being, that that's not the best for you. That's not equally yoked. What's holding us back from walking in the full measure of what is written in the book of our lives? The book God has ordained. Come on, let's all stand together. Wage war for your prophecies. Paul said to Timothy, wage war. God, we want what you have for us. God, we want. We want to get rid of the baggage, the backpacks, the ungodly beliefs, the demonic stuff, the generational curses, the hurts that have held us back, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, whatever. God, the spiritual apathy, the spiritual laziness, where we haven't waged war, but where we've found it a lot easier to flick on the TV. God, You're worth it all. You're worth it all, Jesus. This 80, 90, 100 years on this planet is nothing compared to forever and ever and ever in eternity. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. Come and break in. Come and break in. You know, I feel like the Lord is saying that there's just some, even for a few moments here, some need to just kind of bring it before the Lord. Say, I lay down this thought. I lay down that lie. I lay down that wound, that hurt. I really do, again, I need to forgive my mom or my dad, or I need to lay down that disobedience or whatever it is. I don't know what. In these 10 days of awe, in these 10 days of repenting, it feels like there's a special emphasis. And God's saying, get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the things in your heart that have held you back from my best. What is it? What is it? Come, O Lord, break in with your power, break in with your glory. I just want to say that if that's you, could you please just come and just for a moment, kneel before the Lord. I'm not telling you to say what it is or whatever, or maybe it's not a sin necessarily. It's just where you know that there's more that God has for you and it's been hard to enter into that. If that's you, I just want you to come right now before the Lord and just saying, God, here I am tonight, and I want to see the full measure of this destiny on my life fulfilled. So here I am. As an act of obedience, of a prophetic act of surrender, I'm here to say yes. Yes to you. That higher realm of reality, that higher realm of truth. If I look at my bank account or I look at who I am, I can, you know, get all depressed. No, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to believe you. You can turn anything around in a moment. God, come and break in. Come and break in with your glory. Come and break in. Lord, hear the yes in our hearts. Hear the yes. Let's all say this together. Say this to Lord. Lord, say that to him. I say yes to you. I say yes to your destiny for me. And anything that hinders me from walking in the full measure of my calling and what is written in that book for me, I'm asking you tonight to remove it. Here I am, God. Fully yours. So Lord, come in your glory, come in your presence, come in your fire, come in your revelation. Break in, break in. Yeah. Yeah, break in, break in. Agreement with heaven, agreement with your plan, agreement with your will and your way. Oh, it's like, you know, the spiritual circumcision. God, cut away everything, anything not of you. Let your fire fall. Whoa, let your glory come. Break in, break in. Break in, break in. Power of God. This is Kim who's with me, by the way. Kim, Zoe, come just minister. Lord, break in. Fire of God. I know that this prophetic time is coming in a moment. Just, Lord, break in, break in. Pour out your spirit, pour out your glory. Pour out your fire. You know, I can't shake that word. I know that it's God that's saying that there's some here, that there's been things that have held you back. Oh, from God's full will because of its relationship or things that are going through the eye gates. I even feel like for some, there's a pornography issue. God is saying that it's time to be free. It's time to see that thing broken off. I feel, and for some, it's other things of addictions. It's things of addictions. It's like for some, it can be a food addiction. It's finding comfort in other things other than God. And I tell you, there's a grace right now. There's a grace to be set free. tell you, during worship, I actually felt deliverance was going to happen tonight. Deliverance was going to happen. If that's you, you know who you are. I want you to come. This is not about, you know, witch hunting. This is about God of the universe who longs for relationship. If you know that there's been things, there's been addictions, there's been compulsions, there's been coming into false comforts, even in a relationship, in a dating relationship. If that is you, I'm asking you to step out. I'm asking you to be bold and come and just say to the Lord, here I am. I want freedom, and I'm going to receive my freedom tonight. Lord, break in the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. Let your fire fall. Let your river flow. Fire of God, come, break in. Power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. Help, freedom, fire, 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 fire. Break in, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come. There's a touching of marriages too. Father, we bless marriages. Father, new fire in marriages and relationships, Lord, where there's been conflict, or it's almost like I see these burrs, like the burr that sticks, that feels like it's an irritant. God, remove irritants in relationships. Marriages healed by the power of the blood of Jesus, even where there's been demonic interference. Demonic interference in marriages. Break it. Break it. We pray a breaking of every demonic assignment against marriages in Jesus' name. Ho. Ho. Couldn't believe it one time when one of my interns said that she was in a coffee shop and she saw these people praying and she said, oh, isn't that great? You're praying. And they said, oh, we're not praying to God. We're praying to Satan. And she looked at the top of their list. At the top of their list was for the destruction of marriages. That is a true story. An intern of mine found that there were actually people, Satanists or whoever they were, praying for the destruction of marriages. Well, we pray tonight for the healing of marriages. God, we pray for tonight for the rejuvenation of marriages. Father, fresh fire in marriages. And even for those not married, we bless godly spouses in Jesus' name. Bring the connections, God. Bring the networking. Bring in the godly spouses, Lord. Equally yoked. Equally yoked. Equally yoked. In Jesus' name, we pray a breaking of relationships that are not of you. That are not of you. And we call in those marriages and relationships that are of you. Father, fire, fire, fire. Break in. Power of the Spirit. Come on, never to be the same again. never to be the same again. What's written in my book, Spiritually Discerned, Lord, I will go after that. I will listen. I will position myself. I will pray. I will believe. Take those action steps. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fire, 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 fire. Pour out your spirit. Father, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask Zoe to pray for the young people in this region, because I just want to go back to that prophecy. I feel like there's going to be an influx of young souls, young people, teenagers, 20-somethings coming to Jesus.
Jesus, I ask that you would come here, Lord. We ask that you would chase after the young people, after the youth of Marion, Ohio. Jesus, I ask that you would chase them down, Lord. And that everywhere they look, Lord, that they would see the fruit of your spirit working in the lives around them. And Jesus, we ask that for every person who's lost and is searching, we ask that you would bring them someone who will lead them back to you. And so Jesus, we ask that you would come and that you would speak to their hearts in the middle of the night. Lord, I ask that you would visit them in their dreams and that you would show them your son. And that they would want to know who this man is. And Lord, I ask that you would bring them in. Lord, I pray that you bring them into the churches and that you would raise up those who will pastor them and those who will lead them to the Lord and to give guidance and discipleship to the young people. We pray, Jesus, that you would call their hearts to life and that you would place the burning fire of love in their hearts, that they would know you and that they would know your son. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, we take up that mantle of our calling. And Lord, we say yes. Even if there's been dropped mantles in our lineage or our ancestors, we just say, God, we will walk in all that you have for us. And we will live the full measure of our destiny. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we say yes, God. We say yes, God. We say yes, God. We say yes, God.
God's still doing things. If you want to sit, you can. We're not quite ready to shift yet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord.